Well, in the first half, we'll tell you all about pronouns and how I got a hot take. Also, we'll do our like tweet segment, and Danny Trejo returns to the Adam Carolla Show. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
On September 3rd, 1990, Betty Jones and Catherine Krigler were raped and murdered in an unsolved case known as the Labor Day Murders.
You sure you really want to hear?
I do.
This is as bad as it gets.
There was so much blood that it soaked through the carpet.
I never understood how scary it was, that sense of being trapped.
Now more than ever, I want to help solve the murder of my beloved grandmother, Mama Betty. Listen to Knock Knock now on Podcast One or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from The Green Ghost and the Masters of the Stone, Danny Trejo and Charlie Clark, plus comedian Leo Flowers, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, honored that Ketanji Brown Jackson swore herself in on the Carolla Family Bible, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Their children are going to demand it. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming for him. I love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
I hooked up with a dude in college.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, you know, it's weird. I happen to notice things maybe sometimes early, and then they bug me, and then I drill down on them, and then I think about them a lot, and then at some point I forget about them, and then at some point society changes 10, 20 years later, and then I go back to thinking about why I was stuck on one thing.
Society pats itself on the back, calls you a heretic, and then what happens?
Well, this is kind of interesting. So, you know, like I've been really drilling down on the thing where people kind of go, this could have happened, and then I kept going, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A lot of it's January 6th, like these guys, armed, insurrection, all that kinds of. Okay, but nobody had a gun and nobody was shot and something happened. But whatever it is you're painting didn't, you know, people could have been killed and it's a lot of could have been, or, you know, this person did this to me and this could have happened, but it's like, but it didn't.
Right, right.
And it's a dangerous zone as a society to go, this could have happened. It's back to sort of a chick thing. Sorry, Gina.
Sure.
But if you remember, like any father will know, if you say, like, my 9-year-old daughter and her friends, like if you say to your wife, my daughter, you know, her daughter and her 9-year-old friends, they wanted to walk to go get Froyo, but I said no. You were going to let them walk to get Froyo? Like, no. It was something that was going to happen, right. And then it didn't because I said no. You know what could have happened to them if they walked to get Froyo? It's a weird sort of hypothetical,
right.
In the future. It's a future badness that never happened because we kind of stopped.
Yeah, we nipped it in the bud.
But we're kind of going on as if, you know, he was going to let, you know. Many, many years ago when I was onto the Hollywood Center Studios lot, where we first started Loveline, MTV's Loveline, many years ago. Even the audition was there. And then later, we did The Man Show there and Loveline there. So that was like the only lot I worked off of for many years. I was getting onto the lot. There's just one gate. And the gate, at some point, if it's 9:30 or 10 in the morning, the line of people trying to get onto that lot
will back up onto the street. It'll be 10, 15 cars long. Now, what's happening is 92% of people in that line have a key card or an ID, a laminated ID, and they wave it at the guy and gate. The gate may never, may not go down for six cars because everyone's just waving this thing. But not the guy in the front of the line. He's dropping off an edible arrangeable, and he doesn't have his ID. And they want to know what the name of the guy is. And it all stops, and it just spills out into the street. So I, thinking, well, I'm already running late because what I used to do is I would do Loveline at night in Culver City, get back to the Hollywood Hills house at 12:30, go to bed at 2. And I didn't roll into the office at 9 with everyone else. I rolled in at 10:30. But it was always like, where's Adam? You know, where is he? And so I came, my usual running late move. And so I did this move. I pulled all around the guys who were on the way in, and I pulled to the way out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's no line or waiting on the way out because it was 10:15 in the morning and no one's leaving. So I did the move where I like held up the car and I was like, can you just fucking pop this one open and let me scoot through? No can do.
No, that's a violation.
That's not doable. So I go, okay, fine. So I do this move where I'm driving a Mini Cooper with a manual shift.
Was it hard coming out to your parents?
Let's be clear here,
okay,
Gina.
Okay, sure.
There are many different varieties of Mini Cooper.
Yellow, light blue, pink.
There is six-speed manual versus automatic.
Okay.
That's a tell there for the parents. Mm-hmm. There is the naturally aspirated, you know, 120 horsepower slow box versus the supercharged version, which I had.
Buddy, I've seen the Italian job.
Yes, there's convertible versus coupe, hard top. And then there is your, you know, sapphire flower orange or bright yellow versus the gunmetal gray.
Ah.
Mine was gunmetal gray with a black roof.
So he's a top.
No.
Yeah. I get it.
Six-speed and everything. I had the straight version of the Mini Cooper.
Okay.
So I do this move where I pull the push in the clutch, pull the shift over, throw it in reverse, and as I'm starting to let out the clutch, I'm throwing my right hand over the passenger seat and craning my head over, and I immediately see there's a guy standing right behind the car. Now, not on the sidewalk. The sidewalk, the driveway goes in 10 feet from the sidewalk. He's just standing, walking kind of right up against the bumper. I immediately apply the brake, come where I don't make contact with him, but it startles him.
Yeah.
I then he's going to talk to the guy in the guard shack. He then looks at me and gives me the what the fuck.
That's a close call, man.
Yeah.
The by the way, the what the fuck, you know, when you're driving, like I said, I don't mind the bird out the window as much as I mind the what's going on here. You know, that thing where you're pulling out of a driveway and there's a big cube truck parked on the street and you can't quite see around it. So you're like inching out and then someone zooms by and gives you what the fuck?
You can see it.
This the fuck. I don't well travel done. With a second guy who's got a cone and a flashlight who goes out into the street and checks and see if his highness is coming down the street. I slowly inch out, and if I see somebody, I stop, and then you drive past me. That shouldn't. I was walking with a friend up through the hills of Malibu last weekend, and a guy was like coming down the street, and he was moving pretty good. And you ever have that move where you're kind of walking up a side windy street and you're a little bit, you're sort of in the middle because the street's not that wide, and you have to kind of make a choice if someone's coming at you, like you go right or you go left. Well, I went one way and the person went the other one. We kind of split it, and the guy kind of drove past us and gave us a make up your mind kind of move.
As though, like, this is a coordinated thing you do.
Your
parents,
you're doing Red
speeding.
Rover.
you're speeding on a downhill up on a windy street in the hills. So don't be that freaked out or confused. You know, but what's
or
the
put out?
Yeah,
what's
or the meaning of this? You're the one in the car.
It's a place where people walk and walk their dogs. And walk all the time. Just don't be that put off by it. So this guy gives me the what the fuck, you know, and I do that, but I always do sorry. Oh, but he was not done.
No,
so he went to the he went to the, you know, and I backed it out. And then he looked at me again with the, what, you know, what's going on in my life look. This is like 2000. I gave him the wave one more time. Sorry, it's on me. And went, got to the back of the line. Of course, when I got to the front of the line in the guard shack, he was still there.
Uh-oh.
And we had to have a conversation.
You need his edible arrangement.
And he goes, hey, man, you almost hit me. And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't see you. Doubles back again.
And that was that.
You almost hit me. Yeah. You know, that was close one. And I go, yeah, I know. I was just trying to save time, and I didn't see you back there. And he goes, that, you know, you could have hit. And I said, but I didn't. What, does that count for anything anymore?
It should count for everything.
Or are we just playing horseshoes and hand grenades? Like, it didn't. So shut the fuck up. And I thought of it. I just kept thinking about it. Like, where are we when a dude, like an able-bodied 35-year-old dude, is still fucking nursing this shit 20 minutes after it happened, and a thing that never happened? So right. It's a kind of, I was drilling down on it at the time, and I remember going, this isn't a good sign where things that didn't happen, we've just sort of converted into did happen, minus any of the injuries or the contact, but which is all the outrage.
All the punitive damages.
God, I hope this guy was claimed by AIDS by now. All right, so Gina was walking through her neighborhood.
Well, a much nicer neighborhood, Toluca Lake.
Oh.
So any neighborhood?
Someone else's neighborhood.
Yeah, that's why it was nice. And Andy and I went to lunch at this lovely little sushi place in Toluca Lake the other day. And I thought, this is the valley? You know, there should be a tent here or there, certainly a cluster encampment somewhere. Oh, no, they don't play that shit in the nice part of the valley. In fact, they took a proactive approach, and go ahead and put up the picture. Instead of just saying, you know, we'd prefer you don't sleep under this bridge, they fence everything off underneath the overpass.
Right.
So you literally can't camp there.
Can't access.
No. Or, on both sides,
oh,
on,
wow.
on all underpasses.
Yeah.
And I thought,
this
well,
is
that
the solution?
Well, that was a cheap an easy solution for something that seems to be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, but Brian's right when he sounds like an elderly Jewish woman.
This is the solution?
Yes. Sadly, it's basically people in Los Angeles and in many other big cities have essentially become seagulls.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk to them about not shitting on signs out front of the seafood place. We have to put up spike strips so they won't land on it.
Hostile architecture.
The skateboarder who refuses to stop doing the grinders on the bench.
Right.
Or the cement in front of the library. We just have to put speed bumps on them now. Like, we're now at a point. Or we can't figure out what's going on with gangbangers and graffiti. We can't stop it, so we have to put barbed wire on freeway signs. Like, we're now at the point with the populace where we can no longer communicate or convince them. We just have to start putting shit up.
Yeah.
Which is a sad state of affairs, but effective.
Hostile architecture.
Yeah,
right.
and it, you know, people felt safe walking. Are there all of our cars are parked under there? And that's something that I wasn't going to be too keen on. You said people shitting in the street. I don't know if it's worth or we have the time to put this up. This was happening. I'm sending to Ben right now. Yeah.
I'll buy a minute.
Great.
Brian, speaking of hostile architecture, a lot of these houses and nice neighborhoods and Beverly Hills and stuff getting broken into. How long before we just get back to the moat?
That'd be great.
Yeah. Crocodiles floating around in there, drawbridge, like turrets up top, guys with boiling lead. Like, we're just kind of going back to medieval times.
Yeah,
now.
I was in Beverly Hills just before I got here, and there's a lot more really nice fences up, gates up around people's houses than I remember. It's not open yards anymore.
We started, businesses started putting big planter boxes out front so people could eat outdoors without homeless people.
You know what's
bivouacking?
The tough thing in my neighborhood, a couple of blocks away, is I'm close to Westwood Boulevard, right? And there's no access to any garages or any driveways off of actual Westwood Boulevard. There's a big alley that runs parallel, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the houses on Westwood Boulevard have an alley in back where you can access garages, driveways, whatever. But that alley provides cover for thieves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For vandals or whatever.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of people getting broken through the alley
because
that's again, it provides cover.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see what's going on in Hollywood right now, because I know none of us at this point in our lives live in Hollywood, and I think we all did for many, many years. There, it seems, oh, Chris didn't get it either. I'll just tell you. You know why? Because nobody needs, God is trying to stop me from showing this to you. There is a, what I'm assuming, homeless gentleman, possible drug addict, taking a shit in front of my friend's apartment in Hollywood. Out in the broad, broad daylight.
Yeah, Hollywood is a little Times Square-y in that it had its heyday. Man, I mean, you see those films where the guy just rolls the camera in a Buick in 1949 and just heads down sunset.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Clean. Everyone's wearing a jacket and
a suit,
tie.
Yeah.
And
a hat. Yes, right.
A hat and a bonnet and
ladies
stuff.
Ladies got umbrellas.
And parasols. Then it started to fall apart in the 80s, and it got really weird and dicey to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And then there was some resurrection. It was, you know, Jimmy Kimmel,
right.
The El Capitan Theater,
yes.
And Hollywood Highland had a big movie. And then it starts falling apart again. Can we – here's what I'm saying. Everyone – I'll speak to Brian. He's a homeowner.
Let's hear it.
And all homeowners.
Homos.
Put the homo and homeowner.
When you walk outside your house and you see that the fascia boards that adorn your house are starting to fade a little and get a little bleached out, go ahead and scuff them. Put a new coat of primer and paint on them. Do it then. Do we have to wait until it's bubbling
and falling apart?
Until the wood is all riddled with termites and we have to do a fucking teardown of all the fascia? Do we have to get there? Or like when you're doing Hollywood, you know, 7 years ago when we start heading down the backside of the hill, could somebody just pipe up and go, hey, let's
take care of this
one.
In the butt.
Not that he has to be the spokesperson, because I'm sure he has enough on his plate. But when you mentioned Jimmy, it'd be interesting if he did a little campaign to clean up his office. You know, I mean, he's the one that has to work on that street.
Yeah, he is right up there and...
Right in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle. Yes, right.
There's another parallel to be drawn between your house example, which is 100%. Nothing will get you to do shit to your domicile, like owning it, and also Hollywood. It's a very transient city. You know what I mean? People are there. I don't mean transient, like homeless. I just mean people come from all over the world to make it big or not.
Or go
you
home.
Know, yeah, rent for a little while, see if they can strike it rich and then or not. And there's a transient nature to Hollywood the same way with renting an apartment, I suppose.
We're lacking community pride, because who's going to stay? It's a good point.
All right, now on to something that I just reminded of as I was working on my audiobook with Dawson, who's an excellent producer, I will say. You're doing a lot of books, right, Dawson?
It's this thing, man.
Yeah, I've read and produced like 23 now.
Jesus.
And I'm currently working on three different ones.
Read and produce, or read and or produce, like Adam?
Read and produced. The number is over 30 with the six I've done with you. I've done five with you. I didn't do in 50 years.
Does he make you stop and do it again? Does he crack
the taskmaster?
He knows the inflection. He gives a good read on it. He's quite skilled academically, just sonically. But something was reminded me of it, and I always think about it. Maybe even Dawson can find it. Take him a second. I don't know, page 125 or something. We're talking about pronouns, you know? And, you know, it's like I'll give my pronoun. My name is Adam Carolla, and he, him, his, I guess, is it. But we're good at he, right?
He him, yeah.
He, him.
Or whatever. Yeah, whatever the iteration
once
is.
Once we do he, aren't we?
It lays it
aren't
all
we
out.
Done?
Yeah.
You know, it's driven me insane for, 25 years, which is tampering with disabling. Tampering, disabling, or destroying the smoke detector in the lavatory by every flight now. It's like just tampering. We're now done.
We'll cover all bases.
He, we're done at.
Yeah.
We're done at he.
Yeah.
We have they. Do we have them?
Now you're just showing off that you know how to conjugate.
I think we can figure out through your first one, unless it's something very exotic, what the rest shall be.
Does anyone do like, hi, I'm Gina, she, they? Is that why?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many Ricky Hendersons are there throwing left and batting right?
I don't know.
Gina,
but
text
overall,
me that.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find that little stanza. Dawson will He's comb looking. Through it. We also have liked tweets.
Oh, yeah.
And just things that people send me that I put the little heart by because it either reminds me of something, or I'm either for it or against it, or I want to complain about it. We haven't done it in a while, but I think we have an intro.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Send him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
All right, so while Dawson's looking for that, I'll run over some of these tweets. So one of them, Adam, Mark Cuban's been trending a lot, and they sent you this too. He's going up against Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this, yep. But he has the...
Oh, yeah, he's trying to do like an app or something that like will circumvent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So he's selling drugs. He found a way to sell drugs at a much, much more affordable cost.
You know, it's simultaneously a good thing and a bad thing as far as the title goes. A disruptor.
Yeah.
Cuban's a disruptor. Yeah. And then there's my buddy Ray, Mr. Bernal's classic, lighting a huge fart off in the middle of study disruptive. Time.
Not know? Exactly Silicon Valley material.
They're both disruptors.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. Billionaire Mark Cuban launched a war against Big Pharma. Recently, he started an online pharmacy where over 100 life-saving medications are offered at low cost. He charges a standard 15% markup in an industry that typically sees no less than 100% of a markup. In just one example, a life-saving leukemia drug with a typical retail price of $9,657 is offered by Mark for a total of $47. Insurance is not accepted due to the fact that it would force him to work with manufacturers requiring certain price points.
Yeah,
the company is costplusdrugs.com.
Oh.
That's great.
He's got the title Mark Down right on the table. He's Mark Cuban, yeah. Mark Down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Next,
come on,
he'll come
Cuban.
For the sandwiches.
Yeah.
That would imply, though, that it's of a lesser quality. I think he wants to get away from that.
Yeah, you
mark
do the-
down. Get yourself some markdown drugs.
They have everything on here. I mean, they have – there's four whole columns full of stuff that I'm very interested. As a Jew, I'd like to go shopping.
Look up Ursa Dial and tell me the price.
How do you
because
say
I'm
that?
In the – oh, the U, Ursa Dial. Because
okay.
I am – it's one of Dag's
kids. One of Dag's
kids? One of Dag's kids. I'm on it, and it's not cheap.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
does insurance pay for it?
Yeah, the cover. I mean, it would be, you know, $500, and it's like $75, but $75 is not nothing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have Dag's names? I know we played one maybe yesterday, but.
I got a couple.
I got a couple.
O'Brien, $16.50.
Ooh, may have to hit up Mark Cuban.
For a 30 count.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That's a month's supply.
Leave it a death row.
Yeah, so a lot of people are saying, they're tweeting Elon saying, this is how billionaires should act.
Leave it a death row.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a big hero.
Look
online.
Up Leaving a Jester.
Estradaro! Estradaro!
That's all I got.
Yeah, this thing about, like, here's how billionaires need to act. First off, billionaires create a lot of jobs. So that's, like, number one. Like, Mark Cuban, how many humans is he gainfully employed versus cunt number seven on L.A. County's, you know, commission of whatever, who, by the way, not only creates zero jobs, takes money.
Yeah.
Motion to change my title.
Yeah.
Shut up, cunt number seven.
Whatever. School teachers, whatever. You fucking people get paid by the fucking taxes that Cuban pays. And I should say, who Elon Musk pays and Cuban or whatever. So they create a lot of jobs and they pay a lot in taxes. If you want to know, like, all right, and then maybe at some point they spend time on a yacht. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're doing. The lion's share of what they do is they create a lot of jobs and they pay a lot of taxes. And then they're, I mean, if you want to just, okay, versus a guy taking a shit in front of your friend's apartment.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the two extremes. So I would like more of these people, Elon Musks of the world, who create tons of jobs and pay tons of taxes.
Well, and also you think of the Tesla and probably space travel, you know, space tourism when we get there. In his own way, he is bringing down the cost of things. I mean, he's bringing down the cost of electric cars because we're all getting used to them. It's not just for the rich now.
Yes. All right, sorry. Do you have a another one there, Chris?
Yeah, another one. This is a tweet that I sent to you. There's a new term called trans autistic.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the memo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was tweeted at him. It refers to someone who wants to become autistic.
Oh, my.
It can also be used to describe someone who feels they should become autistic.
You can jump off your roof.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, trans autistic individuals are not necessarily allistic. They can be fizzy autistic people.
Wait, elastic?
I think they tried to say autistic there, but they misspelled.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Autistic.
Okay, they can be fizzy autistic people who want to acquire another form of autism. In opposition, a cis autistic individual is someone who doesn't want to become autistic and or doesn't feel they should become autistic. And yeah,
so we're just making up words now,
yes,
and then explaining them to everyone who was older than 19.
Queerpedia says it's a transabled identity.
Okay, I think when everybody got hip to Temple Grandin, and that's where a lot of us learned like what autism is and Asperger's and all that kind of stuff. And she's the one who came up with that great way to.
Cows.
Yeah,
I think about that all the time. When I see
cattle,
lines to get tickets or lines to get on
that's
a
right.
ride.
Oh,
I don't know
that story.
Oh, okay,
tells.
So she and Brian helped me out here. And I think Claire Danes played her in a movie.
Yeah,
but I just remember her from like the 80s on Phil Donahue.
I never heard of her until the movie.
I was totally hip to her as a child. So basically, she's an architect and she has autism. And she found a way to get cattle through the line to get slaughtered so they weren't as like anxious, like so there's a way they couldn't see around the corners, it wasn't as scary, whatever, it was more efficient.
If the cattle were, if my recollection, if they were like in a pen, they get really anxious and whatever, but she devised basically, you know, the lines at Disneyland,
it's exactly that.
Yeah, if you're doing that or at the airport or whatever, you're less anxious because you feel like you're moving.
So thank you. So that was the first time I'd ever heard of autism or Asperger's, and I think, and you know, people talk about Rain Man and how, you know, whatever, this was our two forays
touchdowns
into autism.
Yeah.
But now it is like autistic people are really, really good at a lot of stuff, really much smarter than the normies over here because we don't access that part of our brain or whatever.
Yeah. I think they also maybe have the ability to single things out and drill down on them for a longer period of time. Hey, I have Asperger's.
The superheroes among us.
Don't confuse me.
I do get them confused.
I'm on the spectrum, so don't confuse me.
Have you guys seen Love on the Spectrum?
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic.
It's adorable.
There's too many dating shows out there. Is it?
Not like this one.
No, this is like a special needs one.
Is this British
or
Australian or something?
British, I think. It's very sweet.
People with syndromes finding.
Yeah.
Other people with syndromes?
Yes,
pretty much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sweet.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a British show that came over here, so I guess Netflix.
Yeah,
I've seen the spots.
It's heartwarming.
It's like, you know, with all these other dating shows, it's about being clever. These people are just like, hello, I like your shirt. I like yours. Would you like to go to dinner? Okay. It's just very sweet.
Listen, I with all the new verbiage and the pronouns and everything, I could use a little more Sling Blade in my life.
I was going to say, if you're weary of the world and the state of, you know, the world, this will restore some faith.
It actually does.
It's one of the most genuine things you'll ever see.
Dawson, did you find that stanza?
Yes.
All right.
Speaking of sports and gender, I had to laugh recently when I got an email from Sonny's school. The note was about COVID protocols or something like that. But at the bottom, under the administrator's name, it listed his pronouns. He, him, his. First off, you had me at he. I can do the math on him and his. Does anyone list he as the main pronoun, but then her? Or even confusingly, there after that? No one is ever going to say, what does he want for her birthday? I don't know what to get they.
Good.
Well said.
It has a little end on the Spartans, which I like as well.
But the thing that made me laugh was a quarter inch below the virtue signaling pronoun breakdown. It said, home of the Spartans. The Spartans. The most vicious all-male fighting force in history. I've seen 300. Gerard Butler didn't need to declare his pronouns. You couldn't get further from the concept of pronoun announcements. But it's all just shortened to pronouncements than the Spartans.
All right.
Can I put one little bow on this?
Yes.
You know, we always talk about the octagon to the, you know, the hand washers. My favorite example.
Safe space is an octagon.
Right. My favorite example right now, and I don't know who's going to be hip to this. You know, the Cody Brown, the Sister Wives show that, you know, it exists. Okay, sure. And they're religious and they're, you know, like Latter-day Saints or, you know, fundamentalist Mormon. And I don't think they like to be confused. And they have all the wives and they all the tradition. Well, one of their daughters, Mary's daughter Mariah, is now Leon.
Oh.
And it's really fun to watch the family adjust because I don't think that they thought that that was going to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, they must screw it up all the time. Ask her. I mean, ask him. I mean, right?
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Danny Trejo is ready, so we can talk to him in a second. First, I'll tell you about BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, maybe people are a little burned out and they don't even know it. It's not just about work. It's about our roles in life. It can burn us out. So many people are wearing so many different hats these days. You got to talk to someone. BetterHelp wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talk with someone to figure out what's causing the stress in your life. And, oh, man, this used to be, you know, something that certain people did. But I think as we move off of the farm and into the cubicles, everyone needs a little better help. Customized online therapy offering video, phone, even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. More affordable than in-person therapy. Get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Right, Dawson?
Adam Carolla Show listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Carolla. That's BetterHelp.com/CAROLLA.
All right. Our old friend Danny Trejo is zooming in right after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
The one constant throw all the year, Ray has been baseball.
If you said Field of Dreams.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Danny Trejo is joining us via Zoom. The movie Green Ghost and the Monsters of the Stone is available now on VOD. And Danny's been in a million films, but I recommend his doc. Was it Prisoner Number One? Was it?
Inmate Number One.
Oh, Inmate. Inmate Number One. Yeah. Why we can where can we find that? I watched it and was just riveted by it.
That's on all Amazon, Showtime, and everything. I just wrote a book called My Life of Crime, Redemption, and Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, nobody's more suited to pen such a tome. A tome probably wasn't thrown around in the joint that often. Wow, there it is. Trejo, is it out or is it coming out?
Yeah. Number two on, what do you call that?
New York bestseller.
Oh, yeah, New York bestseller.
Can we talk to that guy?
Does that mean it only sold in New York?
No. It's a compliment for sure.
And how's the Trejo's Tacos doing?
Hey, we're doing good. That's still going. We just opened up a new one downtown, a donut shop. And so, you know, they're going good.
Those donuts are insane.
Did you always have the entrepreneurial spirit, but you were focused toward the wrong business line when you were young, or is this something that just sort of gradually crept up on you?
Everything good that has happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. I got into the restaurant business helping a director with a movie that he needed somebody, you know, a name on. And I met a producer named Ash Shaw who saw that I like good food, so kind of said, why don't you open a restaurant? Jokingly, I said, Trejo's Tacos. And he brought me a business plan. And it didn't have anybody killed in the first page, so I gave it to my agent.
What is the she said it was a good deal. What is the best soft taco you guys do?
Well, you know what? It's like my favorite is carnitas and also the Baja fish taco, you know, and we have a cauliflower taco that won like best selling in Los Angeles or best tasting or won some kind of award.
It was a New York Times best selling taco. I'm looking down here and I'm intrigued by this, but you can tell me. You like carne asada, it says on the screen, but Chris also wrote, you like to do suicides, which I never thought about that in the taco realm. When I was a kid, you do the Pepsi and the Sprite, Mountain Dew, and put it all and make one big shitty drink out of it. But a taco suicide, I could see.
Well, you know, anything you can put anything you want in a taco. That's what makes them so good. You know, I mean, I remember on some days when my grandma, when we didn't have like money, you would just roll up a hot dog in a taco. I didn't know hot dogs came in a bun till I was about 7 years old. Roll it up in a tortilla and it's a hot dog.
Yeah, I had a Mexican guy named Frank make me a taco out of cactus that his wife hacked up from the hills of Burbank. Not good. I remember that.
Hey, I used to live in Burbank. I used to live at 29 East Palm in 1949.
You've been in the valley. You and I have basically been in the valley our entire lives. So you started out in San Fernando, right?
No, I actually started out on Temple Street and then went to Echo Park. No, then went to Burbank, then went to Echo Park. Then I got in trouble and they sent me to Texas for 3 years. And I lasted one summer. I didn't want to be no place where you have to shoot mosquitoes with a .22 rifle. You ever seen it? Mosquitoes are that big.
Yeah.
No, I don't. All we have out here, we have these things called crane flies who look exactly like giant mosquitoes.
But they don't hurt anyone, right?
Not physically, but emotionally, they're really disturbing.
Yeah, they're long legs.
If you're ever watching TV at night with the lights off and you see the shadow of one of these things buzz by the screen, you'll go into full panic. And then
it's kind of Jurassic.
And at some point you flick the light on, it's gone.
Yeah.
And now you have to start the hunt. Is it behind the TV? Like, where the fuck? What the fuck happened? If things as big as a pterodactyl, where did it go? And 2 minutes ago, it was just doing a circle pattern over the TV set. Why gone? Why so bashful now? And then you have to find it. And if you don't find it, you shut the lights back off. You sit back down again. Then it goes right past again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Danny.
Is that the bug assault?
These shoot salt, and they're good for any fly mosquito at 20 feet.
It's pump action, shoots like kind of a granular salt.
Ooh.
Does your parole officer know that you have this? And I don't know what the rules are, but.
Well, as long as they're plastic and don't shoot bullets, you can own them.
All right.
Noted.
How many? You must have been on parole for some exquisite amount of time after going to the joint, right?
I got out of the pen. I did 5 years the last time, and I had 5 years parole.
When was your parole? Do you have a parole date? Like you know, when someone goes to AA and they announce, you know, 10 years of sobriety, like, do you have a date? Do you celebrate that date? Do you remember what year it was?
August 23rd, 1968.
Oh.
I got sober and I've stayed sober. And so August 23rd is my sobriety date and also my parole date.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Do you chalk up a lot of your behavior to like alcoholism or not being sober back in the day?
I never committed a crime that wasn't drug or alcohol related.
Mm. Well, I think we've answered my question. Yes? I'm going with yes on that one.
You know, what's really funny. You talked about the spectrum. When I was in Pacoima Junior High School, they put me and three other kids in a classroom by ourselves. We were like the bad kids, and we had to stay in this one classroom. And then, you know, by the end of the semester, there was 30 kids in there. And I didn't realize what was going on, but I work with autistic children. And I realized that everybody in that classroom in 1959 was on the spectrum, but nobody knew what autism was. We were just bad kids. And I remember telling my daughter that, well, I was never on the spectrum. She said, Dad, you are a perfect example of ADD. You know, that's the only reason we used to love to stay with you, because we knew we'd have to stay anywhere for more than 10 minutes. We had to go, whether it was church, anywhere, we're here and let's get out of here, you know? And so we just constantly move. So, but it's like, I work with autistic kids and we're doing pretty good. Theo, one of the kids that I work with, he's doing, he got hired. What do you get when you go to university? He got hired at
scholarship.
Eight colleges.
Wow.
I mean, he got accepted to eight college. Accepted. Not parole. Eight. He got accepted to eight different colleges. He went to one in Ohio because they have a real good writing. He's an excellent writer.
That's amazing, because now that we know how to teach kids that are, you know, different from the majority, they're not stupid, they're not lazy, they're not bad. You're just not teaching them correctly.
Exactly. You know what? That's the one thing I fear so much is like Sam. Sam is like a big kid. I mean, he's like, you know, probably 300 pounds, 6'1", big, big kid, right? And I'm so afraid he can't stand to be touched, you know? And I've been so afraid that he will like come up with some cop that does not know what's going on. And all right, because police, God bless them, but they have to gain control. I have to gain control of the situation. That's the way they're trained. And if you got a kid zoned out on, you know, his autistic having an episode, you're not going to gain control unless you bust him in the head, you know, unless you like approach him. I was downtown and this kid was freaking out, not a kid, an older guy. And I seen this one cop come up. The other two that were there were like getting ready to rush him. And this one was, no, wait. He goes, now, come on. No one wants to hurt you. Hey, look, come on. We're just here to help you. And you could see this guy just
relax,
tone down.
Yeah.
You know? And so, man, I wanted to kiss that guy afterwards. I said, you know, get on. Because he didn't, he was still gaining control, but not the way, you know, not physically.
Yeah, there's a case, and we're going to bring your partner, I was going to say in crime, but I won't say that, Charlie Clark in a second. I just want to say, there is a case that Mark Garagos is on, and we won't look at it because it's so gruesome, but it is that shooting, the cop killing out of, I think, maybe Tucson, or I'm trying to think of where it was, somewhere in Arizona. And the guy's basically on his hands and knees in the hall, and the cops keep screaming and escalating and screaming and escalating and then yelling, you're going to get shot, you're going to get shot. And eventually the guy with the gun, the cop, just unloads. It was all because it was crazily escalated. This guy in a T-shirt and basketball trunks crying, on laying in the hall, just saying, what do you want me to do? And they all whipped each other up into such a fucking lather that the guy who's like holding his finger on the trigger just hears the word shot. You're going to get shot five times by commanding officer, and eventually starts shooting.
Yeah.
All right.
It's really hard.
Yes.
It's really hard to forgive something that happens like that, but it's like the training. You've got to understand that some people, it's like, you know, we have a homeless problem in Los Angeles. They keep calling it homeless because there is no such thing as affordable housing in Los Angeles. That's a myth. Do you understand? So they're not going to do anything with the homeless. They can do stuff with the drug addiction and the mental health. See, but then if they start saying drug addiction and mental health, then that puts it on the state, having to build hospitals, having to build drug detoxes.
Yeah.
Hey, just
yeah, you know what? Some of the people don't even know they're homeless.
Hey, Danny, just for fun, the let's say shitbox you grew up in outside of Pacoima. Back in the day, what do you think that house is over $1 million today?
Are you kidding? Hey, my house that I grew up in is about $1 million. It's about $1 million. I think my dad bought it for $13,000 or $14,000.
It's crazy.
My house, I bought it 5 years ago. It's worth a lot more than that.
Charlie Clark has joined us. Charlie's
Big Charlie,
co-star of the movie.
Clark.
I'm on it, Danny. I'm on it.
Charlie, explain how this movie came about.
Well, thank you, Adam.
You wanted to make me a movie star.
I did. My dream was to work with Danny Trejo, and I made it my life's goal to make this movie. I created a TV show back in 2003 called Green Ghosts in Mexican, not Mexicant. And it was aired here on the border. It was all in Spanish down in South Texas and the southern tip of Texas in the Rio Grande Valley. It aired from northern Mexico back across the border. And I grew up with a Mexican nanny. About half my lifetime, I got to live in the Mexican barrio with her. And, you know, in a humble place with no AC and a lot of fun and playing with the dogs and going to all the Mexican events and being the only gringo kid there. So I grew up with an appreciation for the culture. And when I started my own business, I wanted to create an alter ego for myself instead of just being a typical car dealership dude, you know, a car guy. I wanted to create a alter ego that would be making fun, in essence, of being the stereotypical gringo superhero and become sort of an anti-hero. That's where the green ghost pun came in, and working alongside with Mexican as brotherhood.
I didn't know he wasn't Mexican until he was about 18 years old.
That's about right.
I salute you, because car commercials and car dealership commercials today just have a very attractive, well-spoken woman talking about, you know, McKenna BMW in the South Bay. I grew up with insane guys screaming at you with riding a hippopotamus. You know what I mean? I mean, I didn't.
Yes.
First off, I was 11. I didn't. You know, I wasn't even close to having a license, and I was like, "This is goddamn entertaining programming right here." We used to have.
I remember that guy.
Yeah. Cal Worthington.
Go see Cal. Go see Cal.
We had
Cal Worthington.
People used to say that to me, like, you're like Cal Worthington. I was like, really? Let me look this guy up. Yeah. So anyway, I like doing commercials where I made fun of myself. And I did a lot of stuff, and mainly in Spanish and then also in English. So as this, we produced 30 of these shows locally, and we ended up in the Wall Street Journal on the front page of the Marketplace section in 2005. After that, we got a got some calls from Hollywood, and I went on a search for a production company to actually, I said, you know, why not? Let's make it a movie. I was only going to use local actors and get it out of my system at one point. And when I met David Rodriguez, Robert Rodriguez's brother, I was like, I'd always dreamed of working with Robert in some way, at least being sort of closely, you know, have some sort of connection to him. And sure enough, I ended up with his brother. And then obviously with Edward James Olmos, his son, they had access to Danny and the other actors. And that was a dream of mine to work with Danny. So I was like, wow, if I could somehow get freaking Danny Trejo in my movie, it was a dream come true. So he was the coolest guy to work with. And I was intimidated on the first day. I mean, remember Danny? I was choking hard. My acting coach slapped me around a little bit.
I wonder.
I used to serious actor.
Yeah, uh-huh. Danny Trejo.
I fell in love with it.
How many guys with the last name Rodriguez are claiming to be Robert Rodriguez's brother? Because I feel about half the San Fernando Valley. It's like, oh, yeah, it's my brother. Can I have a blowjob? What's going on with cars right now, Charlie? Is the chip shortage, supply chains, are they backed up? Can I just walk onto your lot and buy a new car? Are we going to have to wait?
It's unbelievable, what cars are going for right now. And because of this chip shortage, I mean, the problem we have is I've chosen not to be one of those cheesy car dealers that goes up on the price over the MSRP and the additional dealer addendum or markup or market adjusted market value crap. But they're going up $50,000, $100,000 on some cars. There's some cars that bring $150,000 over. You could buy it today from a new car dealer if they didn't go up on the price and flip it in the auction for another $50,000, $100,000 profit. It's the most insane thing. But I believe that bubble, and along with other, you know, I'm watching Elon Musk and others scaling back, saying, you know, the bubble's going to burst at some point, because it's just like, it's not worth that. I mean, it's what these cars are bringing. It's insane. And then, you know, you got these car buyers like CarMax and others that don't need some other ones that don't have new car franchises, and they have to buy used cars. So they go out to the auction. They'll pay whatever. They just keep going and going and going until you just give up. You know, it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm not going to buy a car today.
What percentage are you doing a lot more electric EV cars than you did a couple years ago?
That's funny that you mentioned that. I have the Nissan Leaf, which is 100% electric, right? And I've been pushing this green. I gave away 3 Nissan Leafs when we first brought the film out in theaters in Texas. We had a register to win a Go Green Go type promotion. And the problem is that, and I'll be honest with you, I think that oil and gas had a lot to do with, you know, keeping that infrastructure sort of smashed. We're lucky that Elon Musk took an interest in the Rio Grande Valley. He built, SpaceX right down the street. Where I have a dealership in Brownsville, there's SpaceX right next door. So he built a Tesla dealership down here. So I'm going, okay, let's go electric. And I have a Hyundai deal too, and a Hyundai dealership in Laredo. And they're really going hard into the electric vehicles. The issue you have there is they're heavier, physically heavier than other vehicles. And so we're going to have to redo our infrastructure, charging stations. People are petrified of getting out there and oh my God, I'm not going to have a place to charge my car. I'm going to run out of charge. You know, and in South Texas, when you go from the Rio Grande Valley, you know, there's a stretch there when you get up to going towards San Antonio and stuff. It's a good 3-4 hour drive, you know, and people get a little freaked out because there's not a really defined infrastructure there for charging stations. And until we get that and also make sure the roads are ready for it, they say they want to, you know, Biden, everybody's saying 2030, we're going to be all electric. And yeah, I don't think so. I don't see that. I wouldn't mind it. I would love it. I would love everything to be electric, honestly.
It's just like our government to be talking about electric cars nonstop for the last 15 years, but not putting the infrastructure to support it. But Brian, you had a question?
I did. I'm ignorant, Charlie. Explain to me how it seems counterintuitive. How is an electric car heavier physically than a
batteries?
Is it heavier than internal combustion engine?
Yes, it is.
I would never guess.
It is. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that either. But the whole bottom of the car, I mean, is actually the battery. It's a couple thousand pounds. It's just nuts.
I'm curious, actually, and maybe.
And they last about 4 years, and then you spend another $3,000 for a battery.
Maybe Charlie knows, but Chris could look it up, too. A Nissan Leaf is a small car. And if it had internal combustion four-cylinder engine, it may weigh 2,800 pounds, 2,900 pounds, something like that, a car that small. Leaf curb weight is 3,500 pounds, so says Chris, or 2,3,900 pounds. So if you have a fat passenger, you'll get up to 39.
Sure.
If you got your mother-in-law riding shotgun. So that is heavy for a car that size. So maybe they weigh 20% more.
He's not talking about you, Mom. He's not talking about you.
Or whatever it is. But would you say the whole fleet or most all the fleet is going to go electric in the next 10 years, Charlie?
I mean, that's what they're saying. Okay. To be honest with you, I think they'll probably get to about 60% maybe in some franchise. Like Hyundai, they're really pushing it.
Hey, my 36 Dodge. My 1936 Dodge ain't going electric. Neither is my 1956 Chevy Bel Air.
Yeah, we've talked about this with Danny before. Those beautiful old cars that used to go up and down. Was it Ventura?
Van Nuys.
Van Nuys.
Yeah,
we do all that. They're not motor going. I got a 65 Buick Riviera that Jay Leno rode in, and he loved it. We're not going electric.
Well, first off, what's he going to say? You know what I mean? Hey, Danny, your car sucks. He's not going to say that. The lowrider, the culture is crazy. The ones that are really done up with the airbrushing are absolutely rolling works of art.
You got it.
You probably never get pulled over for speeding, but you probably get pulled over for a lot of other shit in that car.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a 65 Buick Riviera. They come stock with a 426 engine. We blew that up to a 505, and I got stopped at doing 80 on the Diamond Lane by myself. The police officer, thank God, told me, Trejo, get out of the Diamond Lane. Keep it under 80.
You must be able to do whatever you want in Los Angeles, right, Danny?
You know what? I love L.A. L.A. is my town, man. I love Los Angeles. I try to obey the laws, except for when I'm in the 65 Buick Riviera. But, you know, otherwise, you know, we're pretty honest.
How old were you when you got into show business? I've heard this story before, but I just can't remember what age you were.
40 years old.
Wow. So that's
actually the first time I was ever on stage, we did the safety play
dance
in the safety play in Elysian Heights Grammar School in the third grade. And my line was, get out the way, get out the way. That's what Mr. Siren says. Anyway,
I was thinking of. I just wanted you to tell the story. I was in the audience that day, Danny, and I recognized greatness. All right, the movie is called Green Ghost and the Mask.
Hey, this movie is so much fun.
It's got to be.
I had so much fun doing this movie. I play a drunk, and I love it when people say, you know, how do you prepare for a movie? I said, you've got to, like, that's a memory. Are you kidding? So we had a blast. I mean, it was like so much fun working with everybody. And I'd worked with Marco before on Machete. And so And he's like a, you know, like a karate kind of guy expert, you know. And we just, I had a blast. I had a blast working with Charlie. And I mean, selling me three cars right now.
That's right.
It's available on VOD and wherever you find finer movies. Danny Trejo, Charlie Clark, thanks so much for joining us, you guys.
Thank you.
Well,
love you, Charlie. Love you.
Always love you.
I'm calling you.
All right. I'm calling you, Charlie. All right. Comedian Leo Flowers is going to join us in a moment. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help insure your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage as well. You can save even more with special discounts when you get your bundle on. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance. And, well, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. So, switch and see just how much you could save when you go to Geico. All right. We'll take a quick break. Back with comedian Leo Flowers right after this.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.